Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And what we want to bring out this morning here is, for we are his workmanship. In the New Living Translation, it says, we are his masterpiece. We are his masterpiece. And I mean, I probably don't have to even say too much more. We can all just stop and think on that and go home and just be blessed. Amen. I mean, what a thought. And as soon as you think of the word masterpiece, I mean, what do you think of? You think of, whoa, I mean, you just think beautiful and expensive and unique, one of a kind, right? Well, that's what you are. That's what I am. We are his masterpieces. Man, God, God Almighty, God, the maker of heaven and an earth and all that's seen and unseen, he made us his masterpieces. In Psalm 100, let's go there. We're going to look at a few scriptures here in Psalms. You just need to remind yourself of that sometimes when you're feeling unimportant, unworthy, undeserving. Stop and remind yourself, oh, whoa, whoa, wait, wait, wait. I'm his masterpiece. And we're going to be saying that a lot today, all right? We're all going to be saying that a lot. As I stop at points, I'm going to say, I'm his masterpiece. And I'm telling you, because I know the Holy Ghost, you know, even as we leave today and next opportunities, it's just going to come up out of your heart. Nah, but I'm his masterpiece. I'm his masterpiece. Psalm 100 in verse 3, it says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. It is he who made us his masterpieces. Hallelujah. Over in Psalm 119, let's look at this one here quick. Psalm 119 in verse 73, it says, your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. This is what the psalmist is saying to God. Your hands, God, your hands have made me and fashioned me. If we just remember that, all the days of our life, we'll never feel insignificant again, unimportant, unworthy. I mean, his hands. I mean, picture God, his hands. They made you and fashioned you into who you are. Psalm 139, one more here in the Psalms. Say, I'm his masterpiece. Oh, yeah. Psalm 139, verse 14, it says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Come on, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We have been wonderfully made. And don't you love, he's pretty confident. He goes on to say, marvelous are your works. I love that. Marvelous are your works. And my soul knows very well. Not just my spirit, me, the real me, but I'm getting in your word. I'm coming to understand the things of you, God. And it's getting down in my soul. Hallelujah. Remember, our soul is where our mind, our will, our emotions are. And who knows, that's an important place for us to know that we are his masterpiece. Amen. You are exceptional. You are unique. Anyone ever been told you're one of a kind? I've been told that a few times, maybe in the bad way too. Yeah. The world just needs one you. Well, that's all right, because the world's just going to get one me. And the world's just going to get one you and one you and one you. And you know what? I mean, if we just, there's such freedom in that. Once we get this understanding and we grow in this revelation, hey, I am God's masterpiece, and wonderful are his works. And my soul is coming to know very well. It changes the way you hold yourself. It changes the way you walk. It'll change the way you talk. And you know what? You want other people to change how they feel about you? It's time for you to change how you feel about you. And as we change how we feel about us, other people, they're going to change how they feel about us. It's in the way, it's just who you know you are. And we all grow in this, you know? We're all growing. None of us have stopped. You don't want to stop. We want to keep growing. But the more confident we are, not of us, of him in us, confident of knowing I am his masterpiece. Now, we're going to get into something here because I'm not talking about the flesh. We're talking about the spirit, the real us. I'm looking at a bunch of bodies. I tell the kids, you know, a bunch of earth suits. The real us is spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. This body is not it. Thank God. Now, yeah, we're supposed to take care of it and help it in any way we can, but it's not me. Because I look so great or maybe I look so horrible or whatever it is, does not say who I am. And it doesn't say anything about my importance or my worth. We're his masterpiece. Say it again, I'm his masterpiece. Our worth is not based on who we are, but whose we are. It's not based on what we've done. It's based on what he's done. And sometimes it's not based on what we haven't done. It's what he's already done. The finished work of Jesus Christ. He made me his masterpiece. So the only reason we're not walking around acting like his masterpiece is because we just don't fully have that revelation yet that we indeed are his masterpiece. We're not striving to become his masterpiece. That's already done. And as we get revelation of this, we're able to walk in who we already are. Jesus bears the eternal scars showing us how much God thinks we are worth. You ever start feeling unworthy because of something you've done, you haven't done, whatever? You just picture Jesus. He's got the eternal scars showing you. He's proved to you how much you are worth, how much you are his masterpiece. And think about it. He did that as we were yet sinners. As when we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. How much more now, once we've surrendered our life, given it to him, been born again, born of his spirit, born anew? How much more now? The price he paid is the proof of your worth. The price he paid was the death of his only son. So, you know, our worth is not based on how much money we have or don't have. It's not based on what kind of car you drive, what kind of house you live in. It's not based on how smart you are. If you have a high school diploma, if you graduated college, your worth has nothing to do with any of these things. It's not based on your nationality, how pretty you are, how skinny you are, how nicely you dress. It's not determined by how straight your teeth are, how long your legs are, the color of your eyes, that your hair, your skin. It's not based on any of those things. Because you know what? All those things that I've just mentioned, of course, the list can go on and on and on. But those are carnal, fleshy things. Meaning, not that they're not important, but in comparison to the spirit, there's no comparison. And so, I think especially as women, because of what's portrayed in the world that we live in as a beautiful woman, we try and feel like, well, I'm not beautiful then. And you're just seeing yourself according to the flesh. I'm just seeing myself according to the flesh. Life is not about the beauty on our outside, because that's going to not last forever. It's about the beauty on our inside. And that's going to last for all eternity. And you know what? It's just more important to me than ever before. Yeah, we take care of our outsides the best we can with what we have. But what's more important, I want to spend my time more on beautifying my insides. Because that's what God sees. Yes, man sees my outsides. But who's more important? God is. And he's not paying any attention to my outside. He's not paying attention to, you know, how great I look or don't look. I mean, he's not paying attention to any of that. He sees my insides, my heart. 1 Samuel 16, watch this. In verse 1, God, the Lord was sending Samuel to Jesse's house to anoint the next king. So God told Samuel in verse 1, you know, go to his house. I provided myself a king among his sons. So Jesse called all his sons, well, most of his sons, had his sons gather because Samuel's saying, hey, you know, I need to see these guys. So it came, when they came, that he looked at Eliab and he said, now listen, this is Samuel the prophet. Says, so this Eliab, one of Jesse's sons, stands before him and he says, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Right here, this Eliab. So I'm sure, I wonder what Eliab looked like. He must have been quite a hunk, huh? He probably wasn't some little squeeny, wormy, little nerdy looking guy. I mean, there was something about him that Samuel the prophet says, guys, surely this is the Lord's anointed. I mean, come on, duh. Verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. That word refused also means rejected. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance. But the Lord looks at the heart. Hallelujah. So then he's saying, you know, well, call your other sons. So the other sons come. In verse 9, he's saying, neither has the Lord chosen this one. So verse 11, and Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest. And there he is, over there, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Ruddy. He just had that ruddy type of complexion, you know, but he had bright eyes. And, you know, they say that the eyes are the window to our soul. You know, there's something about in the eyes. You can just, you see Jesus in people. Because that's where we see him. It's the window. So here, the least likely to be chosen as God's anointed was the youngest. And he was the one who was out taking care of the sheep. Makes me think, well, what were the other guys doing? They were too big or, you know, too important, or that was too low for them to be out taking care of the sheep. I don't know. It's just, you can think about that. But how amazing is that? He chose the youngest one, ruddy in complexion, out there tending the sheep. He must have walked up and not looked too distinguished, huh? I mean, he's out there taking care of the sheep. You know, just interesting. I wonder what he really looked like. You know, it says he was good looking. But notice that in the flesh, surely it's this one. And it wasn't at all. And not only wasn't it that one, but God actually rejected him. God rejected him. And on the outside, it looked like, ooh, he was something. The inside, he obviously was very ugly because God rejected him. And that's what God sees. He wasn't seeing his tall stature and whatever was all about him that made everybody think, surely this is the one. That's not what God was seeing. That's not what God's seeing with you or me. He's looking into the heart. And you know what? That's good news for you and me. You and me that have surrendered our lives to Jesus. You and me that have been born again, filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. You know, when we were in the Old Testament, it talks about, you know, when you're born again, I mean, the greatest miracle of all, God takes out that old stony heart. And don't tell me you were a good sinner, because if you were, I was a pretty good sinner too. Sinner, sinner. Amen? Sin is sin. He took out that old stony heart, it says, and he gave us he put in there a brand new heart. He didn't revise it and upgrade our heart to pass his test. That thing would never pass. He had to get that ugly thing out, that stony, hard thing. He had to rip that thing out of us and put in us a brand new heart. And heart is related to even the spirit. He put in us a brand new spirit. Amen. Woo! I'm glad I got a beautiful spirit. How about you? Yeah. See, I'm his masterpiece. And, you know, I think the more we find ourselves saying that, you know, the more it's going to get in us. Because even now, maybe as you're saying it, it might feel a little shallow as you say it. You know what I mean? It just kind of feels kind of shallow. Well, the more we speak that, the more we really start believing that and let that come out of our mouth instead of other comments we would say, or yielding our mouth to other thoughts we might have when we see something and then we look at ourselves and, I'm his masterpiece. That's what comes out of our mouth. And as we're in the Word of God, we're seeing who he said we are and what we have and how beautiful we are and what he's put in us and what he's done for us. And as we get all that revelation upon revelation and understanding these things, it just starts to get deeper. And then you'll find yourself when you're saying, I'm his masterpiece, it's coming from a deeper place. But we got to start somewhere, and we're all at different levels, different wherever each of us are at. But wherever we are, we can get stronger in this revelation of knowing we are his masterpiece. Luke 16:15. Pick it up in verse 15. And he said to them, this is Jesus, it's in red, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. Listen to this. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Strong language. This is the truth. That's why we got to watch being so a part of the world and in tune with the world and its movies and its TV shows and its TV stars. Come on. Those things are an abomination to our Father God. The things in the world, just the world. I mean, the world's kingdom is completely opposite to God's kingdom, the kingdom that we live in. We might live in this world, but we are not of this world. Remember, ladies, this is not your home. So this world highly esteems wicked, vile people, actions. They highly esteem it. And those very things are an abomination to our Father God. Then I don't want to be a part of it, because I don't want to be a part of something that is an abomination to my Father God, who made me his masterpiece. I have nothing to do with that. And I'm surely not going to look at it and can't compare myself with it. What's highly esteemed, you know, you think about all the, you know, the beautiful models or whatever, you know, and you look, and we're not denying in the flesh. Some of them are absolutely beautiful. But what do they look like spiritually? That flesh is going to burn. That flesh is, it's as the grass, the Bible says. It's going to wither and die. What's inside of them is what really matters. What's inside of us is what really matters. So we look at some people and we think, oh, how beautiful they are. But if we're looking at them through the eyes of God, how beautiful actually are they? In the Amplified of Luke 16:15, listen to what it says. For what is exalted and highly thought of among men is detestable and abhorrent in the sight of God. That just jumped out at me in that moment, and I'll say it. In the sight of God. No, he's seeing, he's looking, he's seeing, and those things in his sight are detestable and they are abhorrible. And so we want that to be with us too, don't we? When it comes in our sight, we want it to be detestable and abhorrible, not like, oh, I want to be just like them or look just like them. No, I just want to look just like God. I want to look like more like my Father every day. Come on. Eternity is a long time. It's a lot longer. It's going to last a whole lot longer than this vapor of a life. Now, again, it doesn't mean that we don't do the best we can with what we've been given. The Bible talks, we're going to get to a scripture here in a moment. You know, so, I mean, it's not like we just throw it away because, you know, some of you might be looking at me, well, okay, well, then why did you put makeup on this morning? Why did you fix your hair? We do what we can with what we have. But our focus and our aim is doesn't stay there. We're deeper than that, ladies. You're bigger than that. You're better than that. You're higher than that. You are more honorable than that. You're royalty. Sometimes we think, oh, I don't, you know, some people, I've heard it before, they feel like, you know, they don't have anything nice to wear, so they can't come to church. Oh, my Lord, in the spirit, if we could see you with your beautiful robe of righteousness washed in the blood of Jesus. And see, and once we start changing this in our own self, seeing ourselves not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, then we'll be able, when we see others, we will be able to not judge them according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We won't be a prophet of God even standing before this man. Oh, well, surely he's the one. Look at him. We endeavor not to do that around here. So the world very much has confused people with the standard of value and of worth. And I don't want to get caught up in that. How about you? We have much value, much worth, and we are beautiful. Say, I'm beautiful. I am beautiful. I'm his masterpiece. And again, remember, it's not because of who we are or what we have. It's because of whose we are and what he's done. That we are who we are and we have what we have. We're his masterpiece. So it's time, ladies, for us to stop judging ourselves according to the flesh. And then, like I was saying, and then it'll help us to not judge others according to the flesh either. You know, it's important. You know, the deeper we go in our walk with God, the more we're able to help others with their walk with God. And so we want to go deeper, not just for us, but for everyone that we're supposed to be touching too. It's not just about me and you. 1 Peter chapter 3, probably should start in verse 1. But we'll skip down. For sake of time, right, ladies? We'll skip down to verse 3. Listen, do not let your beauty be that outward adorning of arranging the hair, of wearing gold, or of putting on fine apparel. But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. That word precious in verse 3, do not let your, no, excuse me, where is it? In verse 4, which is very precious in the sight of God. Watch this, extremely expensive. That's what the word precious means when you look it up in the Greek. Extremely expensive. Sounds like a masterpiece, doesn't it? Of great price or worth. So what is precious in the sight of God? That hidden person of the heart. That hidden person of the heart. But let it be the hidden person of the heart that is precious in the sight of God. And so you say, oh, well, look, in verse 3, and there's so many, and this is in Pastor's women's book. It's just so phenomenal. The revelation and understanding how simply, you know, he lays it out there. You know, so many religious denominations and just different things, people are just, they feel like, you know, there's women that they won't cut their hair, they won't put makeup on, and all this sorts of religious bondage. It's bondage. He is not saying that you can't wear makeup. He's not saying don't fix your hair. God's not stupid. He knows we need to fix our hair. I mean, how insulting to God.
He knows what you look like in the morning. He knows you need a brush and a comb. Come on.
He is not saying not to adorn ourselves, but rather he's referring to the emphasis. Everybody say emphasis. The emphasis of that adornment should be on our insides more than our outside. But it doesn't mean you don't try and adorn the outside. But the emphasis is more on the inside. You understand that? He's saying don't spend all your time adorning what isn't going to even count for eternity. You think about all the things people do, let's just say in the natural, what we can do, you know, to better ourselves, beautify ourselves, you know, even like, you know, working out, taking care of our bodies. You know, it's up to you how long you want to spend doing that, but just remember, in eternity, we're not taking our bodies there. As good as they may look, baby. They're not going there. We're getting a brand new one, as good as you think yours might be. You got a whole lot of a better one coming, and it's incorruptible. Yeah, so now, wait a minute. Now I got to get the other ladies. Because now the other ladies are thinking, see, I knew I was being led not working out or taking care of my body at all. That's important, too. So I've got a few more things that I had jotted down concerning benefits of knowing that we are his masterpiece. Here's something that had come to me. It's going to help you with jealousy. Anybody ever been jealous before? Raise your hand. Keep it raised. I'm just making sure everyone's hands raised. We've got some high hands. We've got some low hands. But we've got hands, baby. You know you've been jealous. All right. As long as we're all on the same page. It's going to help you with jealousy, though, because you know what? We can actually get to that point. And listen, just really very briefly, just me knowing how I was when I first was born again, even before I was born again, and then once I was born again, things did not change overnight in my soul. And they didn't change overnight in your soul either, did they? The more we apply ourselves to the Word of God and get that Word working in our lives, it starts washing. It starts washing all the world and its things that it, you know, the world preaches to people. Did you know that? We come to church, we're preached to. We sit down and get in the Word of God. If we believe these words are alive, they're talking to us, baby. They are preaching to us. They're saying things. That's why, you know, we just feel so strongly around here that when we sit in front of the world, that's preaching to you. The world is talking to you. And so I'm not doing that. I'm not going to be preached to by things and people who are an absolute abomination to my Father God who made me his masterpiece. People think, oh, it's just a bunch of rules and regulations. No, it's about protection and safety. That's what it's about. We all have our choice. How far are we willing to go with God? How much are we willing to let go with him, for him? But we're growing, and the more we see, but I encourage you, when we get that conviction, we got to follow that, kind of like Sister Cindy, you know, that just that conviction. She knew something's not right, and she was willing to listen. She's like, what is it, God? She was willing. Obviously, God saw in her heart, a willing heart that would listen and follow and obey, and that's exactly what she did, and that's why she's here today. So it's going to help you with jealousy, because you won't want to be anybody else. We can actually get to the point where we don't want to be anybody else. Because we know, yeah, maybe they're his masterpiece, but I'm his masterpiece too. He created and fashioned you and you and you with his own hands. Each one unique, individual. Each one then, when we surrendered our lives to him, took out that old stony heart, put in a brand new one. Don't you underestimate that God doesn't know what he's doing. You know, I think of Moses. It's like, God, I mean, it's like I stutter. How can I be your mouthpiece? Well, that's who God chose. Seems like the most likely one. Someone who stutters is going to speak God's words. That's who God chose. He's not looking to the outward. He was looking to the inward. Moses was referred to as the most humble man on the earth. So it seems to me humility has a lot to do with it. Another thing, another benefit, it helps give you courage and confidence knowing that he is working in you and he's going to complete what he began. You are his masterpiece. If we're worth that much, we were worth that much that Jesus did what he did. God gave his only begotten son who wears the eternal scars, showing and proving how much we were worth. Don't you think he's wanting to finish what he started in you? Do you think he's going to get halfway through and say, I'm not going to finish that one, and move on to another one? No. Each masterpiece is a masterpiece worthy of finishing. He's going to perfect it. He's going to complete that which concerns me. I'm his masterpiece. Say, I'm his masterpiece. In Philippians 1:6, that's where it says that he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. He began that masterpiece, and he's still working on it. Who knows? Yeah, we are a masterpiece for him, but who knows? We're also on that potter's wheel, and who knows? We haven't reached it yet. He's still working on us, completing his beautiful masterpiece. Here's another thing. Some benefits of knowing that we are his masterpiece. It's going to help us to overcome feelings that would try to make us feel inferior, unworthy, or undeserving. Anyone ever felt inferior? Unworthy, undeserving. Knowing you're his masterpiece today in a greater light is going to help you overcome those feelings. Because who knows, feelings come, but we don't have to keep thinking on them. Feelings come, and then hello, feelings go. It's going to also help to lift us to a new level of royalty and self-worth. You're royalty. I am royalty today. If we would see ourselves as kings and priests unto our God, queens. I like to refer to myself sometimes as Queen Jean. But I'm a queen in God's sight, and so are you. Your name might not rhyme with it, but that's okay. It's also going to help you to cooperate with God to continue to develop the best possible you in this world. You know, sometimes, and I've heard people say, and they'll even come to me and admit these things, you know, I don't have a gift like so-and-so. If I just this, or if I just that. Stop with the ifs. We are all best at something. Say, I'm the best at being me. Sometimes it seems, you know, I know different points in my life, you know, sometimes I would almost have had to say, wow, I'm almost the best at being so-and-so. Because you try to be so much like so-and-so, you almost forget who you are. It doesn't mean we can't look to people and look up to them and esteem them. The Bible tells us to do those kind of things. But we don't want to be them. We want to be us. Now, we can receive things from them and glean things from them, but we don't want to be them. We want to be us. Because we're the only us this world's got. And we're important. We're important. Each one of us. We are his masterpieces. You are important to the work of God. You're important to the kingdom of God. Every one of us. I love Wednesday night and different ones were posting it. I saw, you know, about the spice, you know. Pastor was talking about each one of us, you know, at Life of Faith, you know, we add different spices, you know. It's like each one, who knows, each of those spices that you put in something that you cook, which, you know, I really don't do that much. But those of you that have spices, it was so funny. My brother-in-law, Alan, was over the other day, and we were on our way home from somewhere, you know, with Pastor and the kids in the car, and he was going to make some gourmet seafood thing. It was so good. Clams and linguine. I know, Annette, you're jealous. But anyway. And so as we're driving home, I think he kind of knows me a little bit by now. And so, because we were going to have to stop at the grocery store, Pastor was going to pull up, you know, Alan was going to run in. And he's like, okay, so he's kind of going through things with me. Okay, so like, do you have butter? I'm like, Alan, I have butter. You know, and he's like, okay, do you have wine? Meaning like, you know, cooking wine? I said, no. He's like, do you have garlic? No. And what were these? He's like, do you have olive oil? I'm like, yes, I have olive oil. I cook somewhat with that. Yeah. What else do you? It's like, do you have oregano? I said, I don't think so. I said, but I know I have salt, and I have pepper, and I have something called Mrs. Dash, and that just takes care of it all. But anyway, each one of those spices is so important to the taste and the final outcome of what you're preparing, right? And people can tell, what about, you get in something, you start, it needs a little salt, right? Oh, it needs a little more pepper. Well, what spice are you in the kingdom of God? What spice, what's your flavor that you are to be adding and bringing? Have you endeavored to add your spice? Because you not adding your spice changes the outcome. We need everybody's spice. Generally speaking, the kingdom of God. I mean, but even here, just personally, you know, most of us anyway are members of Life of Faith. You know, it's like Life of Faith, we are this big pot for God. And we need every spice in the pot. Each one so unique, so important. Come on, we need oregano. I might not need it at home, but we need oregano here. Come on, who's the oregano? Let me see. Who's the, Barbara's the oregano. All right. And lastly, before I get too spicy, the benefits of knowing that we are his masterpiece. Like we said, it will absolutely affect everything about us. And it will not only affect everything about us, but then remember, it's going to help affect how we look at other people, how we treat other people, how we respond and react to other people. Because we won't be looking at them according to the flesh either. We'll be looking according to them, to their heart. You know, sometimes we can look at people and we're like, are they ever going to get it? You know, and we're just looking at them according to the flesh. They keep falling in this area or keep, you know, messing up in this area. And meanwhile, it's like, hey, get the plank out of your own eye before you can help get the speck out of your brother's or your husband's or whoever's you're trying to get it out of. And you know, one last thing I wrote down here, knowing that we are his masterpiece. We are unique, one of a kind. It opens the doorway to true happiness, peace, and success, and fulfillment in our life. Are we feeling unfulfilled? Where does it start? So many times people, they're feeling unfulfilled. What is it? And yeah, there might be things, maybe we're not following something that God's leading us to do, and so we're not walking in what he's wanting, and so we're feeling unfulfilled because we're not getting to the place where he's wanting us to be filled. So sometimes we just look to these even natural things or, you know, things, even they might be spiritual things that we can do. You know, we look and it all of that, if the root of the problem, we'll say, we think, oh, well, it's because of this or maybe it's because of that. But the root of the problem comes back to, I believe, just this revelation of knowing I'm his masterpiece. And it's almost like as we get that down in the foundation of our life stronger and stronger, then everything that is built on top of that is just going to be stronger and stronger and be able to last longer, you see? Because the strength of our foundation of knowing where it all started, that day I was born again. He took that old stony heart out and he gave me a brand new one. And that day I was beautiful to him. I was his masterpiece. He started me and he's still completing me today. Hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about this ministry, contact us at Life of Faith Bible Church, 14200 Spiegel Lane, Louisville, Kentucky, 40299, or call 502-240-0016. You can also visit us online at lofbc.org.